Good morning, Camelback. Good morning, church. How is everybody today? Awesome. Can I do something really fun with you guys real fast? I've done it once here before, but I just think it's fun and I want to do it with you guys. You guys want to do something with me? All right, cool. So as I take my hands and I put them right to here, as I get to here, you guys go ahead and clap. You guys want to try it with me real fast? We'll do a test. All right, here we go. Ready? Oh, we could do better than that, guys. Come on. Ready? Here we go. Yeah. All right, here we go. One more time. Oh, thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Have a good evening. I'll see you a little later. All right, guys, so we are in the middle of a whole series called Thrones. Pastor James was just talking to us about it. And if this is your first time on the channel, like, it's so great that you're here. And today we are talking about our bodies. I titled it Bodybuilding. So when you leave from here, you're going to be able to go ahead and deadlift 500 pounds. Is that cool? There's probably only one person in here. I'm like, Mike, he might be the only one to be able to deadlift that. Have you guys seen his biceps? Can you show? I just embarrassed him. But we are looking at our bodies. And so we're going to look at five different areas that God had talked about. And I'm going to use the story of Daniel. Last week, if you were here, Elijah was talking about the mind, and he actually used the story of Daniel as well. And I'm gonna bring back that story and see what God has talked about with Daniel and using Daniel. And if God had called you to do something, would you have the energy to do it? And so we're going to look at not just, hey, can I get a six-pack so I can go to the beach with my shirt off? But if God actually asks you to go ahead and do something for him, and I'm not talking about anything crazy, but just to even maybe go and help at the church, or your neighbor needs some help with something to do some yard work, or maybe God's calling, hey, I want you to go back to school, or you've got some dreams that you've had desires to do, and you just don't have the energy to do it, or you want to work on your marriage, but you're like, I'm just too tired. You come home after work, and you're just like, you sit and you just watch TV or something, and you're just too tired. So we're going to look at five different things just to give us the energy to do things that God is just asking us maybe to do to help out. And to help shape where we're going here, I'm going to give you a couple verses in John 3, 3 John, verse 1, chapter 2. It says, I pray that all is well with you and that your body is as healthy as I know your soul is. What's interesting to me is God takes the body and the soul, your spirit, and he talks about them the same time there. They're equally as important. He's not saying your spirit's more important than your body or your body is more important than your spirit, but he's giving reference to how important both of those are together. A lot of times, especially me, myself, I'm thinking, I just need to work on what God and my spirit, what God wants me to do. But God's saying, no, your body is just as important. I created your body to be as important. And so how do we do these things to look at as our body to be just important? Look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. It says, don't depend on your own wisdom. Instead, respect the Lord and refuse to do what is wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. I want you guys to circle wrong and also strong, because we're going to go back to that in a second. So it says, don't depend on your own wisdom. All right, let's be a little real. If we knew how to take care of ourselves healthy, we'd be a little more healthy, right? True. And so God's saying, don't depend on what you think is right. Look to me to what is right. So respect the Lord and refuse to do what is wrong. Then your body will be healthy. I always want you to write this down. I grow strong by refusing what's wrong. I grow strong by refusing things that are wrong. And these are true in our habits that we do, that we have. Maybe we've got certain habits that are wrong that are causing our health to not be good. Maybe there's things that we eat that are wrong. They're making our bodies not strong. Even with our friends, looking at our friends, maybe we're picking things who influence to do different things, and we're not as strong physically because of those. Or even yourself, maybe you think you're strong enough to do things, but you're picking that as wrong because we need to look at, like it says here, depend on God's own wisdom. So we're going to look in the Bible with five different factors. I'm calling these health factors. And Daniel really talks about these. And if you were here last week, this is going to sound a little familiar, but Daniel was in Israel. And Israel was overtaken by a king, King Nebuchadnezzar. We can call him King Nebi if you want for short, King Neb. And they were taking over. It's Iraq now. And for 70 years, what King Nebuchadnezzar does is very smart. He seeks out, has people seek out the smartest people, the strongest people, the best looking people, physically and mentally. And he brings them in. And guess what? Daniel was one of them with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they were like, hey, you're invited to the king's table. And guess what? When you get the king's table, you get all the cool stuff. You got all the cakes, you got all the pies, all the real good, nice drinks. And what happens when we start eating that stuff? And Daniel's like, yo, I'm Jewish, I'm kosher. I'm not eating that stuff. And so he says, hey, let's do a test. I'll eat my stuff, the healthy stuff that he's saying is healthy, stuff that God has made. And you guys eat your stuff, and we'll see what happens. What happens next? See who's better. What happens? The government, their army was like, you guys are so much more healthier. You guys are stronger. Your appearance is a lot better. You guys are a lot faster at thinking. We're changing what we're doing now because we see out of this test, this contest, that you guys are a lot better than what we're doing. So let's look at our first factor of being healthy. Our first factor, healthy people eat healthy food. I mean, that's kind of like a no-brainer, right? Healthy food. Healthy people eat healthy food. I'm calling this the food factor. And we can see this in Daniel. Daniel 1, verse 15, it says, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. I got a question for you guys. If Jesus came to eat dinner with you guys, what would you make them? We should leave the man-made food aside and eat what God has made for us. Did you know broccoli? Who likes broccoli in here without cheese? Wow, that's awesome. First service, I didn't see any hands. But broccoli has so much calcium in it. You don't even have to drink milk. The food that God's made is so much better and healthier for us. Let's look at what the Bible says about food. In 1 Corinthians 6:13, I'm using the Message Bible. When I don't understand things, I like to read the Message Bible because it clears things up for me a lot of times. So let's see here. It says, you know the old saying, first you eat to live, and then you live to eat. Well, your body is only temporary, but that's no excuse for stuffing your body with food or indulging it with sexual immorality. Since the Lord honored you with your body, honor him with your body. What's really interesting is notice God puts indulging in food right next to sexual immorality. Those are two big things, two separate things, but God looks at them no different because sometimes we overeat and overindulge in things that we want, and God puts those two things just as closely together. Did you know sugar is 8 more times addicting than cocaine? That is so crazy. There was a study that they took lab rats, and they fed the lab rats as much sugar as they wanted to eat. And those rats kept going back and kept going back and kept eating it and kept eating it until they had died because of how addicting it is. Eating fat doesn't make you fat. Eating sugar makes you fat. And it is so addicting. I was actually last night, just being transparent with you guys, I was eating M&Ms. I was looking over all this. Yeah, talk about, I was convicted big time yesterday. I said, no more M&Ms for me. A can of soda has 14 teaspoons of sugar. Wow. Have you guys ever heard of the FLC syndrome? FLC syndrome? Feel like crap syndrome? So you got headaches, maybe knee pains, fatigue. You've got abdominal pains. Maybe you've got brain fog, depression. Those are things that happens from the things that you're eating. Three words. Whole, fresh, real food. The medicine that people are taking to help these things aren't going to help you. Real food is what really actually helps you. God purposely made whole, real food to help our bodies. I'm going to ask my good friend Adrian to come up here. He's going to take on 2 points for me. And I'm so glad he's taken on one of the points, because one of those points I really struggle on doing. And first service, he made it so clear. And I'm so glad you're up here to help me out, Adrian. And so let us know what you got for us, okay?
Good morning. How's it going? You guys ready for another game? I don't have games. It's not a joke. I'm just kidding. Danny's smarter than me because he came up with this game, and I'm sitting down there first service. I'm like, dang it. Should have thought of a game. So point one was healthy people eat healthy food. And like Danny said, it makes sense. You can't put something in your body and expect to get something completely different out of it. What you put in, you're going to, it's almost like what you sow, what you reap, you sow. I don't know. So point two, that's a biblical verse, just if you guys didn't. Healthy people think healthy thoughts. So that's point two, and that's the focus factor. And we're going to jump right in to something Jesus said in Luke 11:34. And he says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is also full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. And so when he's saying your eyes are what causes you to focus. And so what he's saying is when your focus is healthy, the lamp illuminates, your body will be illuminated. It would be filled with the light of God. And you will be healthy and you will feel good. If it's not, if you choose to focus on the negative, you're going to internalize that and you will feel dark. That's where Danny brought up the depression and stuff like that. And it's hard to adjust those things if you don't have the proper focus. It's hard to turn away from the dark or turn into the light if you don't have the proper focus. So the next question would be, what should we focus on? And the answer is we should focus on God's word. That's what he's given us to guide us, and that's what we have to focus on. And when you go into God's word, one of the things that is repeated is meditation. And so when I say meditation, or when you talk to someone about meditation, you think of like a monk in the Himalayas in the lotus pose, you know, humming, or some lady, soccer mom in a yoga class meditating. But meditation just means intense focus. So when you focus intensely on something, you're meditating on that thing. And so God calls us to meditate on his word. And so the person I thought of was David. David had the highest of highs. He did great things for God, and he had the lowest of lows. He did some wicked stuff on his own. And yet in the book of Psalms, he constantly runs back to God. And it says, despite the wickedness and the obedience, it says he was a God after man's own heart. So I said, who better than, you know, I'm pretty wicked and I try to do some good things. So who better than to follow David? And so David, if you look at Psalm 119, David focuses on the things that God says in his word. And so it says in Psalm 19, to meditate on the precepts and statutes. That would be the law. Focus on the law. Meditate on God's law. Why would we focus on the law? The law is restrictive, and it stops you from doing things. And sometimes there's things in the law that we really don't like, and we try to sidestep. But as a parent, if you're a parent or if you're in charge of somebody, you know the rules aren't there to hinder, but to protect. And so when you have the right mindset and you meditate on that, we understand that God's not trying to stop us, but he's trying to protect us because he's our loving father. It says, meditate on the wonders of God. The first wonder I think of is the wonder of grace. How can I do these things and God forgive me? That's a wonder. And we need to meditate on that and realize what God is doing for us so that our focus and our mentality will be of light. The last thing is to meditate on God's promises. See, despite what we do, not because of what we do, but despite the things that we do, God has filled his book with promises that he is going to keep because he's God. And those promises, I mean, you know him to prosper us and never forsake us. And he does that despite the things that we think. And so when we're struggling, we need to meditate on that so that we can get out of that rut that we're in. Psalm 77, focus on God's actions. Focus on the things that God has done in your life. Meditate on that. Remember when God's helped you out of something. When you look back, the things that you felt like were trouble or were hurt, when you look back and with a Christian viewpoint, you understand I wasn't in trouble. God actually got me in trouble so I wouldn't get in worse trouble later. God allowed me to be saved from that. And you have to meditate on that. You have to intensely focus on those things. Joshua and David, they both talk about putting God's law in our heart. And so in Psalm 1, okay, so this is the first psalm of the book. David talks about being blessed, and he says, blessed is the man that doesn't walk with the wicked or sit in the seat of scoffers and wicked people. That's not blessed. Blessed is the man that God keeps you from doing that. And then he says, instead, that same man, he delights in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. When you look at Joshua, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 8, he says, his book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And so these books were written thousands of years apart, and yet they say the same exact thing. They talk about the Lord's law, his instruction, meditating day and night. Not when you feel when it feels convenient to you or when you're struggling, but day and night, always meditating, focusing on God's work, on his promises, on his actions, on his precepts and his statutes. And we could go to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Proverbs 21, I'll read from here because I have a different version. 21 through 23 says, don't ever forget my words. Keep them always in my mind. So God's word would be his law, right? His instruction. Keep them on your mind. Stay focused on them. Meditate on them. They are the key to life for those who find them, and they bring health to the whole body. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. So it's weird how God can pull all this stuff from different books and different times and put them all back into the same thing. Focus meditating on his word, because it brings health to your body. So why should we specifically focus and meditate on the word? And it's because we follow Jesus, right? And that's what Jesus did. So an interesting fact, when our mind controls our emotions, and so when you start becoming stressed, a hormone called cortisol is released. And cortisol has a purpose, and it's great. If it's released in the proper amount, it helps you think and focus, and it gives you energy, the flight or fight effect, if you know what that is, when you're in a tough situation. But if it's released too much, it causes your blood sugar to rise. It could give you hypertension. It actually causes increased fat deposits. So if we're constantly struggling and stressed and we're not focusing on Jesus, we will see the negative effects, because our focus, our eyes, are not lighting our body the way it should be. And so when I think about this, I think of Jesus in the desert. When he was led to the desert, right? It's 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't eat. I'm pretty sure he didn't sleep, because I can't sleep when I'm hungry, and I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be able to sleep in the desert anyway. So he didn't sleep. He didn't eat. And how did the devil tempt him? The first temptation was, turn this rock into bread. Eat. While he was hungry, the devil came up to Jesus and said, grab a Snickers, because you're not the same when you're not. Okay. And Jesus said no. What was the second? He took him up on a mountain and showed him the land and said, I'll give you all this if you just bow to me. Abundance, right? And then the third one, he said, jump. If you know scripture, the devil told Jesus, if you know scripture, if you jump, it says that not one foot will touch the ground, because the angels will come and protect you. God will send his angels. And how did Jesus combat all of this? Because he knew the word, because he meditated on it day and night. So it's not just something that I'm saying. This is something that Jesus showed. He set the example for. And so when we do that, we get stressed. And where do we turn when you're stressed out and you're having a bad day, right? You just want to go home. You want to grab some Ben & Jerry's. You want to sit on the couch and eat. Or you can turn to other unhealthy things that, instead of focusing on God, you focus on these things for the same purpose, to try to get out of the stress. But when you do that and you come away from it, do you ever feel better? Have you ever eaten a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream and then be like, man, now I feel so much better? No, you want to throw up, because there's sugar in it, and you'll eat it till you die. It's crazy. Thank you, Danny. That's crazy. So we need to do what Jesus did, and we need to focus on him. So we're going to get to the third point. And the third point is healthy people manage their energy. And so I have a secret on not only how to manage your energy, but how to have good focus. It's crazy. I had to study. I had to go to the Himalayas and meditate. And the secret is you have to rest. You have to rest. If you rest, when you wake up, you should feel like your mind has been renewed and you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's another verse in the Bible. But you should feel like your mind is renewed and you can focus on what God wants you to do. And you also should wake up full of energy so that you can step forth in what God is calling you to do for that day. If we go to Exodus 28, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, in it you shall not do any work." Rest is so important. God made it a commandment because he knows us, most of us. Probably not me in particular, but like guys like Danny or my wife, they work too much. They do a lot. And they don't rest. I rest for them because I'm like, man, they need some rest. I'll do it. I got you. I'll take that rest. God put it in there because he knows us. Now, if you've ever been in a relationship or if you've ever talked to a person ever, toddler or spouse, when do you usually get into arguments? What are the two feelings you have? You're tired or you're hungry. Oh, man. See, I knew it would work on one of the services. You are either tired or you're hungry. So if you're going to talk about something, don't do it late at night and make sure you do it after a meal. Because if you're tired, your mind's not working right. You're not focused. If you're hungry, your mind's not working right. You're not focused. And so we need to understand that so we can manage our energy. Psalm 127:2 says, "It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing you will starve to death, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest." See, we do it because we think that we have to provide for ourselves, and we do. We are called to work for sure, but God will provide all that we need. In the Bible, what does Jesus tell them to pray? "Give us our daily bread," right? And so going back to the first point, we in America, we're in this culture of abundance. We want more than we need. And that goes with everything. I went out yesterday and I ate Mexican food. And when they brought out the plate, it was like as big as this table. And there was like 4 servings on it. There's like enough beans to feed the church. And then it was crazy. And we eat all that in one sitting because we're so used to abundance. So we have to focus and understand that God has us. And in that understanding, we will be able to rest. And so it comes to the last part. Do our physical bodies matter? And I would say yes, because we follow Jesus' example. And when the resurrection happened, they didn't go into the tomb and find Jesus' body and his spirit was out doing its thing. When God made us, he didn't make our spirit and tell our spirit to just go pick a random body. He made them together. Thomas felt Jesus because Jesus was physically there. And when the disciples watched him go up, they physically saw his body leave. Our bodies matter. They were given to us as a gift from God to be that we can steward. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so like Danny said, God puts the body and the spirit together because he made them together and they matter together. Last verse would be 1 Timothy 2:7-8 that accentuates this point again. "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also life, the life yet to come." And so we need to focus and rest and be active because that's what God has made us to be. God did not make us to come home after 8 hours of work and sit on the couch and do nothing. He's called us to go forth and spread the gospel. He's called us to bring glory to his name. And we can't do that if we don't have the right focus and we're not doing the things that we need to do to have the proper energy, which includes rest and work. And so I'm going to bring Danny back out. He's going to finish up for you guys. But just keep that on there. Meditate. day and night. That's my goal this week.
Yeah. Thanks, Adrian.
No, you're good, man.
So he did. He talked about managing your energy, and that's something that I struggle with. I can manage time because we've got 24 hours. I can say what I can do with each hour of my day easily. But my energy, I have a hard time managing my energy because I am 100% in everything that I am doing, and I don't know when to just rest. I don't know when to just say I need to slow down or when to go. I don't know when to rest, so when God does say go, I can go. And so I thank you, Adrian, so much for that. And God does talk about how we need to be able to do physical things. Because in Genesis, what was Adam and Eve doing? They were working and attending the garden because God wants us, our bodies, to be able to do physical stuff. Our fourth health point is healthy people enlist supportive friends. Healthy people enlist supportive friends. I call this the friend factor. And this one actually brings every other point together. Because without this, long term, every other point is going to fall. If we don't have other people with us to help us when we do fall, we're not going to get back up and keep doing what we wanted to set out to do. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. It says, two are better than one, because together they can work more effectively. If one falls down, the other can help him. But if someone is alone and falls, there is no one there to help him. Health happens in a community. Here at Campbell, we love small groups, because in small groups, not just with our health, but in every other facet of our lives, people are there to help us out, to encourage us, to challenge us, to speak into us, to bring life to us, because that's what God wants us to do. And so when we've got other people who are there with us, helping us, we can only just succeed. An example is this. If you go out to eat, and I'm thinking, I'm going to order a salad with some water. Yeah, that's a side salad, water, that's going to be good. And you sit down, and you're like, hey, what are you gonna order? Oh, I'm going to get some enchiladas with some extra cheese and some sour cream on top. Oh, what are you going to get? I'm going to get those baby back ribs with extra sauce on it. I got a salad. I'm going to change my mind, right? Because the people, the community, the people who I'm with are doing something totally different. And that stuff does look good. And so I'm going to think, all right, I'm going to get the tacos too then. Yesterday was Cinco de Mayo. I wonder what you all ate yesterday. If you don't have someone else supporting you, if you don't have a partner to help you with this, you're not going to stick with your plan. This is, I'm not trying to be like a prophet or anything, but I just know this from experience. If my wife doesn't help me and support me, which she does in everything I do, I'm going to start second-guess myself. My small group, they are so awesome. They know that a lot of us try to eat differently and more healthy. Not that the other ones don't. But let's say we eat spaghetti or something. They'll make ground turkey for us instead of, because they want to support us. They're there to help us, not to beat us down, not to say, what you're eating is gross. Why are you laughing, Rosanna? The Bible talks about importance in small groups. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another, and all the more. The purpose of groups is to support in all areas. Healthy habits are contagious. When you're around people who do things, you tend to do those same things with them. If they're doing healthy stuff, you're going to want to do those healthy things as well. If you're going to exercise more, if you're going to eat a little different, drink more water. It's amazing what drinking just more water a day will do for you. The people you associate with will shape you. The people you associate with determines the type of person you become. So choose a community. Choose people who you can grow with. They're going to grow your body better, to grow you healthier, to grow and change the pattern of your health. So who are you going to spend maybe the rest of this you're with. People who are going to grow you to be healthier, to be better, to help you with your mind, to help you with your body. We went over last few weeks on a whole bunch of different things that God needs to be the thrones over on your mind, on your work, on your spirit. Now, I'm not talking about being perfect, perfection here. Just moving forward and trying to do things a little bit different to get you a little more energy, to be a little more healthier. When God does call you to do something, you're like, hey, I'm ready. Let's do it because I've been taking care of myself. There's so many books out there on about diets and what to eat, but I'm not talking about just a book. I'm talking about a whole plan. I'm talking about things that are actually going to keep you going. Our fifth health factor is healthy people depend on God. Healthy people depend on God. I'm calling this the faith factor. This is the difference between guilt and grace. God is grace. Guilt doesn't work. You might do something just for a little while because you feel guilty. But once that guilt goes away, you're going to go back to doing the same thing. Just like fear. When you're afraid of something, something scares you. Once that fear is gone, you're right back to it. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, you must do it with the glory of God. I'm sorry, I just skipped ahead, way ahead, guys. That's my next point. Grace, trusting God, not trying to figure out and do it yourself. In Luke 17, Jesus says this, Jesus said to the sick man, get up and get going. Your faith has restored you. You know what's really cool about Jesus when we see with him in his ministry? He does three different things. He preaches, he goes into towns, and everyone knows he's going to preach, he's going to teach, and he's also going to heal people. Those three different things. Why? Because he knows that the mind is great and powerful. He knows that our bodies need to be healthy. And he goes and teaches these things. Did you know the first hospitals were started by Christian ministries? We got St. Luke, St. John's, because we know, because God tells us our health is important. Our bodies are important. And did you know that the Ivy League colleges, all Ivy League colleges except for Cornell, were started for pastors by pastors because God says your mind is important. Jesus says to the sick man, get up and get going. Your faith has restored your health. Three things that as Christians, we can take it to a whole different higher level. And the first thing is greater motivation. As Christians, we have greater motivation. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, and whatever you do, you must do it for the glory of God. My motivation isn't to get that six pack so I can wear my shirt off over at the beach. And believe me, you don't want me to take off my shirt and be on the beach, okay? But my greater motivation is to be healthier so I can do things for God when he asks me to do them. Because the glory is for him, not for me. I want to do things for him. The second thing is we get greater rewards. As Christians, we get greater rewards. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, athletes train and practice self-control in order to win a reward that will soon fade and be forgotten. But we do it for one that will last forever. Who remembers who won the Super Bowl 5-6 years ago? I don't. But these guys train to do something to get a reward here. We do things for ourselves for a reward that's eternal, an eternal reward. And if we take these five focuses, these five factors, when we focus on what we eat, when we rest and exercise, when we go ahead and rely on God, we will get this greater reward. The second thing is we have a greater power. In Philippians 2:13, it says, God is now working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God's saying, I'm giving you the desire, I'm giving you the power to do this stuff. So I'm going to ask you guys, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to change? Are you going to change things for yourself, for your health? Because I know that you guys aren't going to sit in the sidelines. I know that you didn't come here on Sunday to watch other people to get changed and do things. And these are five things that God's saying we can do. And these are things that we can do. I'd like to pray for you guys before we leave. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and the things that you're doing in our lives. I thank you for giving us bodies because it is a blessing. I thank you for wanting us to be healthy and giving us the direction, the tools to be healthy, and that you want to use us for your glory, to do things for you. I ask that as we leave from here, that this desire won't leave, that we will take a look at different things in our lives and we will change those things to be healthier, to feel better, to do things for you. Lord, thank you for who you are and what you're doing with us. In your name we pray, amen.